Introducing the Macallan Horizon, a collaboration between the Macallan and Bentley Motors. This limited edition release features a unique 180-degree twist vessel reflecting the horizontal trajectory of the automotive world. Representing a shared legacy and marking a milestone in two brands' pursuit of uncompromised excellence. Register your interest at themacallan.com. Please enjoy the Macallan responsibly. Don't drink and drive.
Welcome to Life and Art from FT Weekend. I'm Lila Raptopoulos, and this is our Friday chat show. Today, we are talking about High and Low, a new documentary about the fashion designer John Galliano, directed by Kevin MacDonald. John Galliano has been a hugely influential figure in the fashion industry. He was most famously creative director of the House of Dior from 1996 all the way until 2011. And he was considered a sort of enfant terrible. He was known for huge whimsical collections and sort of changing fashion. That said, in 2011, Galliano was fired from Dior after videos emerged of him slurring his words and making anti-Semitic and racist rants. But what was interesting was his cancellation did not last long. Only a couple years later, in 2014, he became creative director of Margiela, and he's still there today.
He started to say ugly things about people.
I just thought, boy, that guy's unhappy.
John Galliano is out of Christian Dior.
There are people here who are absolutely disgusted by him.
Can you tell me how you think you ended up in that place?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you everything.
So in this episode, we will talk about Galliano's career and our thoughts on the film, and also what happens to famous people after they do bad things. I'm Lila, and I'm creatively exciting and financially unstable. Joining me from London is the FT's junior fashion editor, Anna Chiara Biondi. She is fabulous and about to discover her wanton past. Hi, Anna Chiara. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
And also in London, we have the assistant editor of our luxury lifestyle magazine, HTSI. And we're not sure why he needs a security guard walking down the runway with him.
You'll find out.
It's the wonderful Louis Wise. Hi, Louis. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
It's nice to see you both, too. I'm really excited to have you both on the show. Okay, so why don't we start with just, you know, big picture. What did you both think of the film? Louis, what did you think? Did you enjoy watching it?
I think enjoy is perhaps the wrong word. I found it very entertaining and intriguing. But ultimately, enjoyment kind of eludes you because of the way the film goes. There's a kind of redemptive arc, but it ends really in a kind of slightly muted fashion. His career burned very brightly. At first, you get this real fireworks of the Galliano show. Then it's kind of extinguished because of the scandal. And the way I see it, he then comes back as a kind of fizzling match. So you tell me if that's fun or not.
Sort of sad, muted version of himself. You're right. And at the end, you think it's not sort of like, wow, what an incredible man who went through this sort of like dark time and came back in this nice way. You're sort of like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe that's more like real life, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anna Chiara, what did you think?
I think to me, it was definitely really interesting. And I would recommend people to watch it, people who are into fashion, but also people who are not into fashion and maybe don't know much about Galliano. They know a couple of things. I think it gives you a really good idea of what happened and who this person is. It's a good watch, I think.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I knew less probably about him going in than you both did, but I felt that it introduced me to this person I knew vaguely and made me think a lot about how the same brain can do like incredible good and also terribly bad, and how to reconcile that. I'm curious how you both felt like the movie depicted Galliano's influence.
So I think the film does partially a good job of describing that because there's a lot of archive footage. Mm. And I think the images alone give you an idea of how much his creations and his designs were so different from what everybody else was doing, so theatrical, and like the construction of the pieces, the construction of the shows, all the drama that he brought on the catwalk. And obviously he then brought this kind of rebellious, hyper-dramatic attitude to Dior and to Givenchy before Dior. and revolutionize how these very classical, a bit staid fashion houses were working, and brought a lot of new energy to them.
Yeah. My favorite parts of the film, I think, were when he was talking about the craft. Like, there was this moment where he had a piece of fabric and he pulled on the grain and it just, in one way, and it just had no give. And he, like, turned it sideways so it was on the diagonal, or, you know, on the, what do you call it, on the cross, and then pulled it again and it just had this, like, beautiful movement. And he said, like, see what I did there? I liked seeing that creative process. I'm curious, Louis, what you thought, and also, like, if you can just set the scene a little bit for people, like, what was different about his work?
Well, as Anna Chiara said, it's so theatrical, but also really cross-pollinated, I think, between various cultures. I think in a way which now is viewed as, could be termed as cultural appropriation, basically. But there was a kind of gleeful mishmash of historical references. His first collection, when he was still a student, kind of riffed on French revolutionary styles. And after that, he was just on a kind of like historical roller coaster. And that was kind of quite thrilling and fun to watch and very different. It showed a depth, at least of kind of visual knowledge, which was incredibly impressive. And, you know, much as people, he really is the kind of archetypal designer where someone on the street might be like, how does that apply to what I'm wearing? But there was an undeniable slow trickle effect. And also, he made you dream. You know, fashion is absolutely about what you wear every day, but it's also about how you imagine yourself, how you want to be. And he more than fulfilled that brief. And the film, yes, as Anna Chiara says, really does explain that. And he himself became his own most wild and ludicrous creation, you could say, and leading, you know, as we are, towards that downfall.
Why don't we get into the controversy around him? John Galliano was always sort of provocative and different, as you both said, but he also, as he got more successful, he relied more on alcohol and prescription drugs. He got quite mean. And then sort of at his lowest, three instances emerged of him slurring his words at a Parisian bar and hauling verbal abuse at strangers and calling them anti-Semitic and anti-Asian names and calling them ugly and saying things like, I love Hitler. And he was quickly fired and he went to court and he went to rehab. And I'm curious, like, a lot of the film was centered around that. And I'm curious what the film kind of made you feel about him? Like, do you think they handled that time well?
So I think I like that it was quite straightforward. So the film's open with, you can listen to what he says to the recording. So it's quite straightforward. It goes right into it. And then it kind of depicts the arc of Galliano in the industry. So like his background, even his family background, and how, you know, his relationship with his father, who was sometimes violent with him, and then his success in the fashion industry and the overworking and the, you know, the loss of a personal friend and collaborator, and then the addiction and the burnout, all of that brings to this result, which is him losing control, basically. This is how it's presented in the film, losing control and saying things that he says he didn't mean. So it's it's a very clear, to me, it was presented very clearly, like, this is what happened and this is why. What I was left with was a bit of a question of, is it all there is? So is it just someone who had a lot of struggles and then had obviously problem of addictions, and then there's an industry who doesn't care about mental health, and we know that that's a problem in the industry with other designers as well. But is this all there is then? So is it just someone who fell victim of this and then had an outburst that was extremely similar for three times? I think the arc is clear, but then it lacks some answers.
It's not necessarily satisfying, I would say. I don't know if it's, but then again, satisfaction is maybe, I think Kevin MacDonald, the director, is trying to not give us cheap satisfaction. I think the whole point of the film, in a way, is leading up to the outburst and the fallout of it. I think the director does a good job of addressing it, and quite even-handedly. But there's no doubt that the case slowly builds up, I guess, a case for explaining how he could get to such an awful point. The thing that really interests me about the whole film is, you know, what you forgive and why. It's funny, I mean, these slurs we're talking about and being euphemistic about, when I was thinking about what he says before coming here, I was thinking they're awful, they're unforgivable. And then I thought, well, no, they have to be forgivable. I think for my personal politics, I've always thought you have to forgive. But it's as though he kind of crossed a Rubicon. And then you kind of think, why do I forgive someone? I have to say, watching this film was interesting for me because I'd kind of moved on from it. And like many other people, felt uneasy about the scandal, but kind of moved on. And this reminds you to think, well, why? What bothered you or didn't bother you? You know, I wasn't up in arms when he was appointed at Margiela, you know, a full 10 years ago, only 3 years after it. I think it points to your own ambivalence or complicity in the whole thing.
Yeah. I think what it did pretty well is it left me asking like a lot of questions, and it was like very cancel culture is very black and white, and I think we're a couple years past the sort of like the biggest years of hard and fast cancellations, and now we're in sort of like a more nuanced place. And I feel like after this movie, I felt like, okay, well, a lot of things are true at the same time, you know, like none of us are just good or just bad. I think this guy was both honestly sorry and also sort of incapable of a certain level of introspection. You know, his remorse seemed real, but also unsatisfying. And I don't know, it was both. And the film sort of asked you to weigh all the sides. And I thought that was a useful exercise.
Yeah, I think so too.
Anna Chiara, what about you?
So I do think that the documentary takes quite a balanced view of Galeano, but I do think that something that I found a bit problematic was the fact that Galeano is presented as a genius, which he might have been in his field, but this fact that he's a genius is kind of presented as a justification of this person is a genius, he does such amazing creative things that maybe we should forgive him so that he can continue to create all of these beautiful, amazing things, which I think is problematic because if you believe that you have to give people a second chance, then it should be given to everyone and not just because somebody is a genius. Like, you shouldn't give them a pass just because they have a specific talent.
You know, I did find the idea of genius interesting too. And actually, I felt like the question that the movie left me with that was most uncomfortable is that conflict that this is the same brain, like the same brain that's presumably a genius in one way, just really has a lack of depth and complexity in other ways. And it can be very disappointing, but that's the guy you have. Like, one comes with the other. And our heroes can't be everything to us. And it really left me wondering, like, should we be considering him an icon, or should we be considering anyone an icon?
It reminds us that we're in a system which still elevates and worships geniuses or gods. You know, in a secular age, we don't really have as many gods, but we have celebrities, designers, sportsmen, and then we absolutely pump them up. And in this system, you can see that he really is kind of like coddled, a particularly fragile soul to begin with, and pushed to the edge, and you get what you get. In the film, he seems to blame a lot of his burnout on doing lots of collections, which is true. I think he does create a lot of collections, and that is a lot of pressure. It does also feel a bit lacking. It's like, okay, so you made a lot of clothes, so then you shout anti-Semitic slurs. It's like, I think we need a few more steps. But undeniably, he's indicative of a system where we create monsters, I think. He should take responsibility for what he's done, but also you see the all these people navigating around him and I guess profiting off him, and then it doesn't end well. It doesn't surprise me.
To add something, I think that what he did creatively and to the fashion industry, it's still valid, I think. But this documentary maybe helps add in some context and redimensionalize the figure of the designers and also his work. So you can still appreciate his work and what he did for the fashion industry from an aesthetic point of view, from what a runway show can be, But then also you can admit and know that it didn't have a lot of depth. And maybe it was something mm-hmm. that it was more aesthetically pleasing than intellectual, which doesn't mean that it's bad, especially in yeah. fashion, but it gives context to it, which is always important.
Yeah. You know, I think this story represents something broader, probably, you know, about forgiveness and about when high-profile creative people whose work we like do terrible things, what exactly we want on the other side. I'm curious from both of you, who know this industry so well, what does this say about cancel culture in the fashion industry?
I think it says people move on, especially when they want the product and they want the creativity. Mm. Fashion is often about dream. And as long as you make someone dream, you're happy to move on. It also can have a very intellectual side, but it's not the side that's indulged first and foremost. So as long as you keep producing the spectacle, people don't mind. I mean, it's a ginormous industry. So as long as you create stuff that sells, that's the first thing. And we see that with other people trying to come back from cancellation still now. I mean, it's very hard to put each case side by side, but Alexander Wang, the New York designer who was accused of sexual harassment, is now trying to come back with support from various high-profile friends. I don't think fashion minds, fashion kind of can move on from cancellation pretty quickly, especially when there's profit to be made.
Yeah. Louis and Akira, thank you so much. We will be back in just a minute for More or Less. Welcome back for More or Less, the part of the show where each guest says something they want more of or less of culturally. Anna Chiara, what do you have?
So on Sunday, I went to see Tasneem Ziada, who's a Palestinian-British spoken word artist. And I loved it. I am not very much into poetry or spoken word, but it was very emotional. So I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah, more spoken word. Amazing. Louis, what about you?
I'm so glad Anna Chiara gave that answer because it sets mine in such dramatic relief. On Sunday, I went to see Dune 2 and I was reminded I'd like to see more things that are demented perfume adverts. Like I want it 5 hours long. I want more deserts. It's actually quite Galliano, to be honest. It's kind of like more bizarre. I mean, it's absolutely thrilling and is strange. And someone said, oh, it's like a weird perfume advert. I was like, yeah, as a good thing, right? I would buy that scent.
Someone has come on and said fewer perfume adverts. And so I really appreciate the defense of the perfume advert.
It's an underestimated art form.
Really?
It needs a retrospective now.
I would like more risks. I'm sure many of us saw the Oscars on Sunday, but Cord Jefferson went up. He won for Best Adapted Screenplay for American Fiction. And he basically in his speech said, like, I know the film industry is risk averse, but $200 million for a movie is a risk. So why don't we try to make 20 $10 million movies with that money or like $54 million movies with that money? And I agree. I've been thinking about it since. Like in every industry, including in journalism, I want to kind of see more risks. Even if something doesn't work, it's okay. When it does work, it's amazing and changes things. I think we all get stuck and it doesn't really serve audiences. So, yeah, more risks.
I mean, yeah, I totally agree. Well, it was all interesting. It's all industries under threat, isn't it? And under threat, they all panic.
Yeah.
Film, music, journalism.
All industries under threat.
So it's like they just shrink.
It's the first thing you cut back on, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah. Louis and Anna Chiara, thank you both so much. This was such a pleasure. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
That's the show. Thank you for listening to Life and Art from FT Weekend. Take a read through the show notes. We have links that expand on everything mentioned today, including Anna Chiara's More or Less recommendation, as well as places that you can follow Louis and Anna Chiara on social media. Every link that goes to the FT gets you past the paywall. Also in the show notes is a discount to a subscription to the Financial Times and ways to stay in touch with me on email and on Instagram. I love hearing from you. I'm Lila Raptopoulos, and here is my talented team. Katya Kumkova is our senior producer. Lulu Smith is our producer. Our sound engineers are Breen Turner and Sam Javinko, with original music by Metaphor Music. Topher Forges is our executive producer, and our global head of audio is Cheryl Brumley. Have a lovely week, and we'll find each other again on Monday.
Introducing the Macallan Horizon, a collaboration between the Macallan and Bentley Motors. This limited edition release features a unique 180-degree twist vessel reflecting the horizontal trajectory of the automotive world. Representing a shared legacy and marking a milestone in two brands' pursuit of uncompromised excellence. Register your interest at themacallan.com. Please enjoy the Macallan responsibly. Don't drink and drive.